We build trust based on how we understand another. So who are we as people? Where do we come from? Why do we even want to build this company? What are the fears we have building this company, and are they real, or where are they coming from? So we test ourselves in very hard conversation, because suddenly when there's a reaction or somebody gets triggered, we understand why the person reacts more on a human level. And so this is how we build trust in the moments of conflicts, but also when we can show empathy and understanding for each other in a human way, even when for conversations that are not easy. Is everything over? Shall we give up on the gaming industry now? Shall we stop trying making games, building studios and companies that have the power to positively impact the future lives of millions of players, professional and humans? No, we don't. In this special track of Rise and Play, I will be focusing on the unspoken topics around building game companies, founders teams, fundraising, pitching, rebouncing after closing your studio company or losing your job. By bringing guests who are going through the same storm of 2024 like you, and keep fighting. I will also share openly my own process, trials and error, and step-by-step building the new game company Killen, as the first-time CEO of a game company. I believe we are stronger together, and we don't have to go through the storm alone, because at Rise and Play, we are not alone. Oh, and one last thing. As you feel supercharged by listening to this episode, it will mean a lot to me, and if you haven't done it yet, that you hit the follow button. It will help with the discovery of the show so other people can benefit from the content too. Thanks, and now let's get to the episode. So hi everyone, welcome to a new episode of the Rise and Play podcast. And today, very special content because, well, while I'm introducing the podcast, I will not be the host today. This is a new format of episode because I'm in a journey where I'm building also a new game company. And I started to look at how to make the content evolve, also how to keep sharing the learnings, the knowledge to the Rise and Play audience around leadership, including in my own journey of building a company, fundraising, and all those joys of, you know, building a company, especially in a time of crisis. So today I invited not a guest, but my co-host, Claire Rosin, who has been kind enough to interview me about my journey also building a company. I'll let Claire introduce herself to start the podcast and host it today.
Thank you, Sophie. Really appreciate it. Hello, everyone. My name is Claire. I'm really excited today to ask all the burning questions we have for Sophie, because she has been telling us so much. And now I'm really have a lot of questions that I want to raise, so it helps all our industry. So my name is Claire. I'm passionate about gaming, about women, but also about all the knowledge that we can share to also each of us being empowered to make our own business and company and rise and make exactly what we like and thrive in, you know, this industry. So I'm really excited to get this opportunity, Sophie. And when you're ready, let me know and let's jump into the topic.
Yeah. And also, maybe Claire, you've been very humble in your introduction. So Claire also has been very knowledgeable the past 10 years in marketing at companies such as Rovio and Carry First before, and also building a community, a puzzle society. So you've been also very active in the work of also building community and knowledge. That's why it was so natural to bring you on board on this podcast. You also be a bit the mirror today with a bit of a younger generation in, you know, what you wish you would have known before, if ever you want to build a company. Reversing the rules around the table. So I leave that to you. Ask me anything.
Perfect, Sophie. I hope you're not too scared. Bring me in, bring me out. It's going to be okay. Okay, so Sophie, you are starting a really exciting adventure. Can you share a bit with us about your experience? What has been the journey? And, you know, like why you actually consider to create a company during what a lot of people are calling the worst time of our gaming industry. Like, what happened?
Yeah, that's interesting that people are calling it the worst time, because for me, I don't even think about it in the first place. There's the perception of the situation, and what you can control at the end of the day is your own perception. So taking the leap, end of last year, when I started actually the consulting, I was really committed to go on my own path, take my destiny in my own hands. I must say the catalyst of that choice were a lot of founders around me, even solopreneurs or freelancers saying, well, you know, if you want to create the best condition for you of work, you have to create the condition. You can expect others to create it for you, but they can always take it away from you. So, for example, if your manager of a company decide that your job is redundant or, you know, your project is not anymore part of a strategy, this is not really something you control yourself. So I started really to think and reflect on where could I put my energy, deploy the maximum of my skills for the biggest impact. And the obvious answer at the time was Rise and Play. So I went further into creating content, being more visible in providing coaching, which I've been very active with, mentoring, traveling to India, as you know, giving talks, doing workshop. And that has been going great. And then around, end of last year, after I was doing for three months, my Rise and Play solopreneur journey, I've been contacted by my co-founder, Alexi, coming from AAA Development. And actually, he discovered me through LinkedIn, who found about my work, basically through Rise and Play. And he wanted to start a company from scratch, which would use the best practices of mobile development to AAA development. So I was like, okay, interesting. So I didn't even think of a company at the time. It's like, you have my attention. So it always starts with curiosity. It's like, why is this interesting for me? So we started to discuss more. And then from one conversation to another, I realized, well, guys, you don't have a CEO actually in your company. So I was almost advising the initial team of co-founders. And the same, I do coaching with a team of co-founders. I look at it from a very business point of view. What makes your business case viable and what doesn't make it viable? And you're missing those roles, you're missing those skills, or, you know, you're missing the clarity of a vision. So by just acting and helping, I would say, at first in the discussion, it turned out to be, well, Sophie, do you want to be a CEO? And I was like, oh, let me think about it. And the moment is quite important because I had a mix of feelings at that moment when that came to mind. On one end, I was very excited of, yes, I do want to take the challenge. I want to go through all the journey, the pain, even if everybody is telling me it's really hard to build a company. No, it's not worth it. And at the same time, I had a lot of fears. So I had excitement and fear, excitement of what would be the journey for someone like me with my knowledge, my skills to build a company and be the CEO, because I've been coaching actually CEO and founders. And at the same time, like, is it really for me? Will I make it? You know, it's like, will I be enough? You know, everybody asks themselves those questions. And so I did spend a lot of time at the end of the year. I went to a retreat, actually. That's also maybe in Colombia, which was a big distance, and thinking about all the questions of life, really reflecting on basically what would I look back 20 years from now and that I would regret not doing. And that was the point where I realized that pivotal moment, I would regret not having tried. What is a life worth living, you know, for me? What will I learn from this? What is the upside and downside? And for me, the downside was it will cause me some stress. Yes, maybe. Maybe I will waste a year of my life a bit more. Maybe I will spend some money. But what is the upside? And when I realize what is the upside, I will learn the whole journey myself, walking the talk. It's a cat moment. Usually she doesn't do that during the podcast.
Let's leave your cat a bit of privacy, please.
Yes. Okay, she's out. So the upside for me was really the whole learning curve, because I see a main factor of success still remains in the people, how you lead a team, you know, what kind of leader you are, part of the organization. And I thought, what is the best way to learn than doing yourself? And so for me, learning about fundraising, doing it myself, building a company, even building a team of co-founders from scratch, the upside is already there. And then even bigger, if actually we manage to go that far, fundraise, build the company, scale, exit the company, that's even a bigger upside. I know what I would do with the money exiting a company, probably in the direction of investments, creating a fund in game. So suddenly the long-term upside was outweighing the downside of it. And it was just a no-brainer that there's only a win to do this. There's nothing to lose, basically, for me doing this now.
I love this. I mean, I think it's really insightful, and I can really reflect about this impact that you want to get and who you want to shape it. Also, you know exactly your way, and you have this opportunity now that is coming out. I think you also spoke about this retreat that you had in Colombia, which is super interesting, and you really thought about your decision. It's something that carries weight, and you really thought about it. But I'm really curious, did you encounter any skepticism or discouragement from others when starting your business during the time? Because You have a stunning experience. You work on the biggest name of the gaming industry. For me, you tell me Sophie, she's doing her studio. Like I'm thinking this is amazing. I'm really excited about it. But what was the first reaction maybe of people around you in the gaming industry and maybe a bit less close than you in the gaming industry also personally?
I think if I didn't have a strong group of encouragement, it would have been harder to start. So I appreciate a lot of people like you giving a lot of encouragement because you need that in the journey. And then also I had a lot of skepticism. It comes with that. So the kind of critique I had is I'm a first time CEO. So, you know, how will you succeed? You've never done that before. It's like, well, like many others who have tried, you know, so okay, fair enough. I can't change that. But, you know, there's always the first time. And that's also the argument. It's like, if you keep that argument, you've never done that before, then we'll never see women actually building companies because they have to start somewhere. Because I'm also going in a platform, a AAA development PC, but I haven't approached before. But I have a mindset, the process when it comes to game development. Well, this is where my co-founder brings the complementary of the platform, the knowledge, how to technically develop a game on that platform. I still had the comment, you don't know anything about PC. This is not your area of strength. Don't do this. And I would say the third bag of comments was more, okay, it's really hard to get investment right now. And if you're not a big name, you haven't shipped something like that is a 1 billion yourself. You're not that rock star team. Like I see the kind of team that get funding, that they have worked together in the same company before. They've done something similar. It's great for them. If you want to build something that is an iteration of what you've done before, yes, you can pick your previous colleagues to work and build the company. But the reality is I had that as well with my previous view. Not everybody wants to build a company. So you try to drag old colleagues of yours that maybe are great collaborators, but they are not aligned with your vision and mission to do that company that you want, which is a next phase of your life. And second is being founders together. It shows another part of you that you don't see when you are just colleagues because the stakes are much higher, very different, and on an emotional level very quickly. So, you know, when I had the saying before, even doing myself now the company with co-founders where others say it's safer to de-risk by having teams that have worked together, I would say it's not true actually, because yes, it de-risks the way you can work together, but it says nothing about alignment of a team and that you can overcome this even if you work together before. You can come to the conclusion that you may not be a fit. And that's why I couldn't hire all my previous colleagues because it's just not what they want to do, even if they love to work with me.
It's really fair. And at the end of the day, like if we circle back to the topic of the top cast also, which is speaking about like the worst time of our industry at the end of the day, do you think it's partly also related to this, that we are in this position right now, like gaming? We know like 10 years ago, it was something new. Then a lot of people, talents, they really scaled really small studio to $1 billion company. Then COVID happened. We had that kind of golden age again. And now we keep doing the same. And that's why you think it's impacting. Do you think like our industry needs new founders, or you feel like at the end of the day, like it's okay what we are doing now and it will still work after the crisis, basically?
When we look at what is the worst time, I think it's a big correction. And we will look at the past investment and how teams were assessed. Because now also being in the fundraising process, I see there's a lot of betting on the storytelling, on how you can present yourself, how you can make a good case on paper. But it's a completely different story how you can execute. And now we see more, I would say, the reality of the execution of many teams, and the conversion rate is quite low, very low, actually. So the way of selecting teams is very complex. What makes a good team? What makes a good vision? So what we called founder, product, market fit is very complex to assess. And I understand from investor point of view, when you don't want to understand about that, understandable, you know, VCs also are not game makers at the end of the day, you have to make shortcuts. So like shortcuts is, what have you done before together? What have you built already? You know, what is the traction you already have? It's just a way to de-risk, but that's not how you fund innovation, where you have to take a bet somewhere, right? So it's to be seen what has been the current investment since last year. But when I look at the emerging, I would say, peak hits, like on mobile, very hard these days, but on PC, it's more indie developers actually that, you know, nobody was watching closely. They've been doing their iteration at a very efficient cost. And then suddenly they, you know, survivor bias, they emerge out of the crowd and suddenly they are attention. So what's interesting with that is like we don't really know who will be really the future winners or the ones that will really create at scale a big success, especially in a crowded market. However, I always look at common patterns, what you can control, right? So having a very good team that can execute the game. For me, I strongly believe in that. So I always look at it. What do you need to build exactly what you set to deliver? Is that team qualified to deliver this? Where are the risk? And it's an iteration process, right? So what you plan to build in the next 3 years will very likely be very different from what you plan to do. So how can you learn quick as possible? And maybe this is a competitive advantage for fast movers, innovators, because they don't have a legacy of big organization, to reduce the time for learnings between tests and get smarter over time and at a cost efficiency. And that's more where I'm going about with a new company, where I truly believe in those principles. And then, you know, it's more a matter of time where you hit enough times. We call it like multiple hits with a bat. And just get smarter. So you learn from each test, right? So it's convergence process.
Yes, fast and really smart leader. I mean, I have no doubt it's going to be stunning. Sophie, I get a question that is also burning me now that you are on the top. You are the CEO, you get co-founder and so on. Is it still important for you to get mentor? Do you still have mentor in the industry or outside of the industry? Or do you pick your mentor? Tell us everything.
Yeah, so I believe my approach is we learn every day. So it doesn't matter what my title is at the end of the day. I'm even learning from you, you know, in the conversation.
Yeah, be careful.
But the thing is, yes, I have coached. I learn from my mentees. I learn from my friends in games. So I have regular conversation with other female founders, for example, not only female, other friend founders. And just when we exchange knowledge, we all already learn a lot from each other through the conversation. So I have a motto, which is I truly believe that we are stronger together. I believe more in a win-win strategy where everybody wins. I know it's very idealistic, but I'm not on a zero-sum game kind of direction. I don't live by that. So for me, I always learn from the people I talk to, which I collaborate with. And even in this process, I'm learning and I will keep learning. Even when some others could see, okay, Sophie is very knowledgeable in that area, I will always evolve on the topic of leadership, because one thing is leadership is a lot about humans, and humans, I don't master what are humans forever, right? It's changing every day with the world we live in, with a newer generation. So it's an infinite field for me to always learn and evolve the knowledge. I do have skills, you know, that are, I would say, at a good mastery level, but knowledge itself, no, I'm learning all the time.
Yes, I love this curiosity that you get, always to get to know different kind of people and knowledge. Do you think it's something that you should have when you want to be on top, when you want to be a CEO, when you want to do your business, you need always to be kind of curious of different things? What do you think about it?
So I would call it almost a character trait where from the moment you start to think you know everything, I think you've lost. It's a personal belief, right? But again, that's the principle of life for me. From the moment you think you know better than others, you've already lost touch, because you can always be surprised by any corner of what will be the next success. And I give a concrete example because I've spent time there at Voodoo, hyper-casual games. If somebody would have told me, I don't know, 10 years ago, that a game that has basic graphics that can be done in a few days and monetized with ads or whatever, you know, I would have probably laughed at it. And that was the old me that was more arrogant. And now these days, I'm more curious, like, what's interesting there? What does it tell about our audience and players, what they value, you know, with the time? Why is it even a business model that works? So these days, I'm very curious to be challenged and, you know, go always beyond the status quo. Even like the way of building a company, I'm getting always insights every day, you know, to really understand, okay, what you look at and what, not to be attached in the way to do things. Gaming and technology are moving so fast. And if you start to, I would say, be attached to ways how things work, it's hard to be relevant in the industry when things are moving really fast.
I agree. Like, I think, you know, innovation, adaptability nowadays is super important. I definitely can reflect on it. So I think it's going to be a really interesting journey. Another question I have that I think is really in my brain is, Why did you change your mind from being a solopreneur to having a business with someone? You signed with a co-founder and a team. So what made you think like, I want to go with them? Like, is it the values? Is it the person? Was it the opportunity? Tell us.
At the heart, I think I'm a person who loves to work with teams. So I think even if I wanted to be a solopreneur, I tried it and I still like it where at the beginning I was comfortable. I was like, oh, okay, I can do whatever I want with my day. I have flexibility. I have my friends here in Berlin. But I love to work with a team. So from the moment we started already to gel as a team with the co-founders, I really miss that. And this is like giving me spark, inspiration, because as a team, you have a multiplier effect. You know, so again, stronger together. It's like 1 + 1 = 3, 5, 10, you know. And I truly believe that because we are elevating each other as a group. And I just love that. So I think in my DNA as well, my motivation is connecting people and creating something greater than ourselves alone. That's what I do with Rise and Play. But when I was like as a solopreneur, it was more coming from a place of convenience, comfort. I remember my best time was also building the studio at Vodou with a team and I just loved it. It was a bit of suffering at time where everything is uncertain. You don't know if you will make it, but you're not alone. You know, you have each other's back. And that's a great feeling I find in the team.
Yes, I remember. I was jealous of seeing your team building picture and everything. I can remember. And the game was amazing. I mean, you achieved a lot. You said that you already created a studio. You worked on the biggest name of the industry. And now you are CEO of a new business where you are focusing on AAA. Which is amazing. So what do you do to make sure, as you say, that you execute and you keep the focus? Like last time I was reading a paper about startup, I think 1/3 of startup go bankrupt because either they just spent all the money or they lack of focus. So what's your trick? What is your advice for everyone that is listening to us?
I've been reading also a lot about what is required really of a CEO role, not in games, period. I've been interviewing, as you know, also with Rise and Play companies that didn't make it, right? So really wanting to understand what went wrong from their perspective. And a lot of issues could be tracked back to the composition of a team of co-founders, the executive team, the alignment and clear roles and responsibility. And so the CEO at the end of the day is responsible for very simple outcomes, the viability of a company, right? So that the company stays afloat minimum, but grows, returns if you are dependent on investors, you know, so keeping your promises to shareholders, employees, to yourself and to your players. So that's a lot. And what does that mean? That means as well that you need to rely on a very strong team to execute on different verticals. So one is on the operation, like development of the game. And that's why I would say the daily life of a CEO shouldn't be that much directly on the game development, or it's a dangerous overlap. Because then you are not taking a step back, you know, for the strategy of the company, basically looking forward. How do I make this company viable in the next 12 months? Who do I need to hire? Who do I need to talk to? Where do I need to get, you know, my streams of revenues? That being said, I realize as well the reality, and that's where it's unfortunate with current financial situation, that in an ideal world, you have a CEO doing their role as a CEO, but because you start with a smaller check investment, you don't really have a luxury to hire a person that would do the development. So you end up with co-founders, which I have multiple hats on the C-level. And in my case right now, I'm doing the product development, right? So being a PM, I'm a CEO, I'm not designing, thankfully, but also if necessary, building the whole hiring pipeline, all the skills I've used in the past have to be deployed. And it becomes a challenge of focus, but at the same time, we are cost effective, right? So it's always that balance to find on what you're supposed to do. And my primary role will always remain the same. So I'll always try to find efficient way to still keep my promises of the outcomes I need to do and either delegate, find someone else to do my job, probably in a better way, do it in a more efficient way with the budget we have. So that's the main challenge I find, but each company needs a CEO, somebody that will go fundraising, get the money, pitch to investor. This is inevitable. And that's why you should ask yourself when you build a company and you want to build your game, if you don't have a CEO, you have really to commit to do that work because no one else will otherwise.
Definitely. I agree. And I think, you know, like you said it, like role and responsibility are really key. And I think that's why it's really important to define it from the scratch. Like when people know what they need to be done, it helps a lot, especially when you're in a startup and it's getting crazy every day. So what was your process to define the role and responsibilities with your team? Did you make the workshop? Did a formal meeting? Like, do you have any, you know, actionable that you could have for any new business?
So I did apply actually my whole framework. So that's why it was interesting for me to building a studio framework. I started with almost hiring of a co-founder. So when they reach out to me, I say, I don't know you. And how can I get to know you quickly? So we started with personality tests. So we all went through a Gallup strength test. So even that was a test in itself. Like if they don't want to do it, then I don't know enough about them, but I probably don't want to work with them. But they were super open and they say, okay, let's all do a Gallup strength. So it's like, you know, show your skin. So then we could read our reports and then I get to know them a bit more psychologically, personally, even before I could get to know them, you know, more on a daily basis. We met also in person a few times on a workshop basis, and the workshop have been very meaningful, where basically I studied it from a point like all the risks I see about the business, why I see this may not work. And I had big questions. And so we started with that. And I wanted to see how they respond to the hard question, because my belief is we will be having ugly times, very difficult conversation. And who are you in those moments when we will touch a very sensitive point? And I give an example here where my two other co-founders, don't want to reveal too much, the third one at the moment, but they have a history where they have worked together. And they came together, and then for me, I asked the hard question from the beginning, does that make sense that the three of you are in this company? Because I can see some overlap of skills. Are you attached to each other, or does that company still have to have exist if you are not working with each other? And if we had to separate, split, one of you two have to split, how does that look? You know, so just absorbing the question was a whole process. So it was very convincing for me. So it's not an easy one, but I wouldn't have committed to a company otherwise, because I know those questions will come up and I prefer them to happen at the start before we even have a check, like several millions or even worse evaluation by that time, before that happens. So it's painful conversation up front. And something else we did also was a mission card for each of our roles. So we had to write down our mission card, what the CEO is supposed to do at Killan, what the CCO, Alexi, and what the COO are supposed to do. And then understand what are the roles and responsibility. And so that is a very effective way where when we go out of our boundaries, we can call out each other and say, hey, look, I'm supposed to take care of that, not you. Or this area that you're supposed to take care of, can you really take care of it? Do you have the skills for it? Do you have a network? Because I need you to be autonomous, independent, to own completely that track. So it's the tools to get to the conclusion quickly. Are we the right people to hold the right role? Is that role even making sense?
Yes, hard question at first. I think it's really insightful. Thank you, Sophie, for this. And I feel, you know, like you are growing really fast. You know, like you spoke about the project like not even a month ago, and now, you know, it's getting really concrete and so on. And, you know, like we all know that trust is not something you build one day by another. You know, like role and responsibility is one thing, but how then do you accelerate this process of trust to get to trust people you work with? Like, what is your mindset about this? Like, do you assume good intent from the scratch and you trust blindly, or you have a process? How do you proceed in those situations?
Yeah, so trust is quite a complex human feeling. And we build trust based on how we understand another. So we can't just be on the professional side when we build a company. So like I said, that from the beginning, we treat very strict, metaphorically, very quickly to see who are we as people? Where do we come from? Why do we even want to build this company? So we went quite deep in this question. So we talk also about our past traumas. What are the things, the fears we have building this company, and are they real? Or where are they coming from? So it helped us understand much on a much more human level, which is what I'm all about with Rise and Play. And while we understand each other, we test ourselves in very hard conversation, because suddenly when there's a reaction or somebody gets triggered, we understand why the person reacts, not from a just pure professional level, but more on a human level. What is at stake for that person? Is the ego being attacked? What is the part of the ego that is at stake? Feeling of competence, feeling worthy, feeling loved. And so this is how we build trust in the moments of conflicts, but also when we can show empathy and understanding for each other in a human way, even when for conversations that are not easy. you know, like we moved really fast with a team where we had a plan, ideal plan, and a lot of it was cut. Like the team we wanted to have, the budget we wanted to have, the condition we wanted to have. And going through this is an intense process. But again, when you trust that the intention of a person are good for what we promised to each other from the beginning, then we trust the process. Like something I really appreciate from Alexi, he often told me is like, I 100% trust you on that decision. I'm giving you my feedback. And I know you will make the right decision for a group based on what you want to do with this company. And just that is like, whoa. And that, so, okay, pressure on me to make the right decision. But then I was like, I have more confidence even in the decision I make because I know where I'm coming from and for what I want to achieve. And it's focus on execution. My whole focus is how do we execute this investment, the market, and so on. And I will make the hard decision when it comes to the team to make that happen. Again, keeping the promises. And we have to be committed to the journey at the end of the day.
Definitely. I think, you know, like it's all what the CEO is about. You get the vision, you are on top of the boat and you are, you know, taking this journey. I think it's really interesting to see that you used a lot of patterns that you had and tools as well that you had into Rise and Play. And at the same time, you kind of had a new position. So I feel like you were already behaving as a CEO. But I'm curious as well about the tools right now that are the most helpful for you to embrace this new role of CEO. What are you using? What are you learning?
So it's interesting as well, like now being really exposed to more of a public title with investors and also other founders, everybody has an opinion about who you should be and what you should do. And it's easy to lose touch on why you started this in the first place. That's why these days I'm good being back in Berlin. This is my, you know, almost like sanctuary in a more like spiritual, physical way. There's like, I live close to nature as well. To remember who I am, what I stand for, what are my values, and my personal circle, my friends, my partner, even my cat that you heard previously, are reminding me who I am. And even like the close circle of friends, game friends in the network remind me who I am. And that's what I'm holding to always in the most hard decision when if I receive a no and that no was, you are not like this, it's like, all right, but I'm not going to become the one you want me to be because that's not the journey for me or that's not going to be a very good one. So the main tool is really knowing who you are, betting on who you are and identifying, you know, the allies on your way that resonate with what you do. And even like, you know, I'm thinking of it very far with a company. If my way of building a company with my vision, and I do trust that I am capable of executing from my track record, is not what the market wants, like I talk about investors, for example, then maybe it's not the place for me to deploy my skills. And, you know, I will always find a place to use them at best. So it's almost like a matchmaking process that happens very organically. So I would say the tools really is to stay strong, hold your ground, build it on based on what you've done and what you know you can do and really trust it. You have a real vision and you are not like switching lines based on what others are telling you. You should take the feedback into account, but you should hold the ground to your core vision, why you started the company and how you want to do it.
100%, I totally agree. You spoke about it like hard conversation. You also spoke about, you know, like some decision that has been made, maybe the budget you raised that was under what you expected. How do you deal with it? Like, what is your thing? Like, do you feel like it makes you even more creative? Do you think it makes you more innovative? Or do you take it as a team, you know, when you have all those kind of, you know, way that we are not really expecting?
So I'd say this comes with experience because I've had that at Voodoo. It never goes according to the plan. So it's like embracing that you have to adapt, iterate, sometimes pivot. So I expected that to happen. So for me, it's like a second nature, you know, it's a habit. So when things don't happen as you want, it creates new opportunities. I'm always seeing things this way. And with constraints, more constraints, this is how you are truly creative and innovative because you have just no choice. So I think, for example, it's a good challenge to try to build a company where investors have scrutiny, diligence, that's great. And then if we overcome that, then I think we're set to actually do very well because we've taken to heart all the critique because we had no other choice. And when I think of company where maybe they were not challenged and they were given, I don't know, 5-10 million just based on the deck, good for them. But then you are not pushed to your edges because you don't have to. And I've seen that in development quite often. So I've worked under very tight constraint, like, again, my experience at Vodou, but it also allowed us as a studio to thrive, to find our ways to create in new ways. So I do believe in that. Again, it's a process both ways. And then it's actually shaped the culture of the company we have. You have to embrace completely the mindset of the challenge, adapting, and then seeing opportunity in the downsides, you know.
Is it one of your values of your studio, or is it set or not?
Mm-hmm. We have the values, of course, evolving, and the values are more in the founders at first. How do we work? But something we have a lot in common, Alexi and I, it's incremental improvements. So learning fast, hitting the wall fast. Sometimes I call myself, like, you know, the crash dummies. You try to hit the wall as fast as possible with, of course, minimum damage. You get the learning and then you roll faster and better, right? So that's the mindset we embrace from the beginning, and almost a love for that. But not for the hurt, of course. But you know, it's more, what can we learn quickly, and how could we not perceive it, back to perception, like something painful, but something good learning. Okay, it's not pleasant. Stings a little bit, but then what can we do from that? And then we learn much faster than others because we embrace it from the beginning. So yes, that's part of the DNA.
Lovely. So we are almost at the end. So we spoke and we had a lot of learning about what to do. Now, Sophie, if you had one, only one, so it's going to be difficult. One advice, what not to do when you do your business, what would you say?
I'd say building a company just for a personal reason only. Because there will be a point where this will not be viable anymore. You won't be able to justify it, especially if you are looking for external investment. I've seen that being the reality of some companies. It is important that you have your personal motivation, but only based on that. Like, I want to build a company just because I want to build a company, or I want to build a team. It's not a good idea to build a company. And I call it a lifestyle business, and it's all right. But then you use your own money, not the money of others, to do it, because then you don't have to justify it to anyone.
Really good advice. Are you excited, Sophie, actually, about this new adventure? Because we spoke about eating worms, we spoke about all the conversation. So what do you feel?
Well, as you can see, I'm energized. So for me, all we have, you know, in this world, and even in like the darkest time, it's energy, fuel, right? It's a fuel of life. So I feel very energized. I feel very challenged, you know, like lights are on. And so I find it super interesting, exciting as a challenge to tackle a platform with my knowledge, my thinking, my lens, gathering the people who are seeing the same thing as I do, and they are. So it's very exciting to start something early stage and see how it grows. And I feel like in the early days, bit with either building the casual studio at Vodou or building Rise and Play, it was very intuitive, but also very analytical. I don't experience this so far in a stressful experience. It is stressful, but I don't sit too much on my stress, right? So yes, I observe the stress. It's stressful, but then also there are many other things. Life is good. You know, I'm not living in the street. I have a good health. If all of this, you know, doesn't work out a year, 2 years from now, life will be also very great. So, you know, just perspective. So again, nothing bad will come out of it. So sometimes it's a lot in our head, and that's what we should take care of as well.
Okay, so remember this answer, because Sophie, we will ask you this question at each episode. So yes. Thank you for your honesty. I hope you won't tell me the opposite someday, because it will be really hard. But you know, like, I think you've been honest, transparent, and it's also, there is no toxic positivity, especially in this podcast. I really loved how you embrace all of the difficult conversation. And I think it was a lot of good learning to everyone who listened to this podcast. And thank you, Sophie, for all of this and for sharing.
Mm. And thank you, Claire. You did great as the host on the Rise and Play podcast. And I look forward to future conversation. I hope you learn also from this, because that's always the goal. Like, we learn from each other and the listeners who are learning from this.
I can't wait to share.
Thanks for tuning in. Bye, everyone. Thanks for listening to this latest episode of the Rise and Play podcast. I am growing a community of conscious leaders across the industry and beyond. If you want to join this movement, please share the podcast with other conscious leaders, because we have so much more we can learn from each other. If you've enjoyed this episode, please follow and rate the show on Spotify or your other favorite podcast platform. It will help other growing leaders to discover the show and benefit from the valuable insights. If you would like to grow rapidly your leadership skills, you can find more insights on riseandplay.io, where you will also find my free masterclass on conscious leadership and other resources that I offer. Have a great week, and remember to take care of yourself. Until the next time,